Welcome to Capital Baptist Church and welcome to our message, Ignite Your Purpose, listen, through giving back, by giving back. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about ministry is what we're actually going to talk about. Ministry is giving back. It's giving back to God. It's giving back to others. And listen, it's a purpose for your life and my life. Because honestly, a life that is totally focused on self is a miserable life. Our purpose is not to just minister to ourselves, so to speak. God has called us to look beyond ourselves and to minister and to give back to God because God's given us so much, and then give back to those around us. So I'm excited about sharing this message with you today as we talk about Ignite Your Purpose by Giving Back. And today what we're going to do is we're going to do a verse-by-verse study. At times it will literally be line-by-line and word-by-word of Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And this is a Bible book that the Apostle Paul wrote to a church. And this church was located in a city called Ephesus. And as he's writing this book, in this section, he's talking about ministry. He's talking about giving back. Now, right now, I want to read just our key verse for today, and then we're going to go through the whole 10 verses. But right now, let me read Ephesians 2:10. It says, "For we," meaning you and me, those that are saved in Christ, "are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus," listen to this, "for good works," and listen to this, "which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." What a powerful verse, just an awesome verse about ministry and God's plan for every single one of us. So today I want to give you kind of a big idea. And the big idea is this: God gives us salvation. We give back through service. So what does God do for us? We're going to go deep into this today. Okay, we're going to talk about what God gives us in salvation. But I want you to understand the big idea first. The big idea is that God gives to us, right? You know, the Bible says we love Him not because we first loved Him, but because He first loved what? Us. It was Him that chased after us to provide salvation. And what we need to do is we need to be willing to give back out of that. And that's called service. That's called service. So let's go deep in discovering what that is all about. So as we do that and talk about how to give back through ministry, how to give back through ministry. Today, what we're going to talk about is your fourth purpose, my fourth purpose. And that is called, listen, that's called ministry. Your fourth purpose is called ministry. So we've already talked about that. You know, the first purpose was worship. Second purpose was discipleship. Third purpose was fellowship. And now our fourth purpose is ministry. And again, I'll just go ahead and read our key verse one more time, because the key verse is the key verse for the purpose. And let me read it one more time. It says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And so when you think about ministry, I want you to think about it in terms of the way Jesus described it. Jesus described ministry as greatness, and that greatness is ministry. You want to be great? Okay? You know, so many of us, you say, well, I want to be great. Well, I want to be great too, but I want to make sure I'm not great according to the world standard. I want to be great according to God's standard. And in Matthew 20:28, it says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." You see, Jesus modeled ministry. Jesus modeled ministry. And in this passage, in this context, the discussion with His disciples is about greatness. Who's the greatest? And Jesus said the greatest is, is a servant, the servant of all. And Jesus used himself as the example, the model. He says, okay, look at me. I came to serve. And listen, he's saying, I want you to be like me. All right. I want you to be like me. So you were created to give back through ministry. We were actually created to give back through ministry. Our key verse talks about how that we were created in Christ Jesus for good works, and that God actually prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And one of the ways he did that was he gave us spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You were created to give back through ministry. And specifically, God created you with at least one spiritual gift. A spiritual gift has been given to you by God. It's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your life to equip you to serve. And the Bible says that every one of us has received at least one gift. And the Bible says we're to minister it. You say, well, how should I minister? Well, how should I give back? And the answer is with your spiritual gifts. That's the area where you want to give back for the Lord's work. And the Bible says clearly we need to do this as good stewards. That means good managers of what God has given to us. So praise God. Praise God. Now listen. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 is going to open all this up to us, okay? It's going to make it very clear to us. So how to give back through ministry? Number one, acknowledge your sin before Christ. Acknowledge your sin before Christ. So the background of this passage starts in verse 1a where it says, and you. See that? And you. So basically, the outline here of this passage is life before Christ, what life was like before we were saved, in Christ, what happened when we got saved, and then listen to this, after Christ. I like to say BC, C, AC, before Christ, Christ, after Christ. And here's saying you, okay, and he's talking about you specifically before Christ. And it describes here the characteristics of the unsaved person. The characteristics of the unsaved person. And there are two things. Now, this is important, okay? You know, when it comes to giving back, here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to help you understand, okay, your condition before Christ. Because if you don't understand what you were in before Christ, it's going to be hard for you to really appreciate what you have in salvation, all right? So acknowledge your sin before Christ. Number one, the unsaved person is willingly disobedient. I mean, what were we like? Listen, the Bible says we were totally, willfully disobedient. It says in Ephesians 2, 1 through 2, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. I mean, we were spiritually dead. You know, that Bible actually talks about, you know, 1 Corinthians 2:14, that the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God because they're actually foolishness to them. Why are the things of the Spirit of God foolish to the unbeliever? Because they're spiritually dead. Before you were in Christ, you were spiritually dead. And he goes on to say in verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons. Listen to this. The sons of disobedience. I mean, we were walking according to not the word. Hopefully today now you're walking according to the word. But before Christ, you were walking according to the world, okay? And you were following the prince of the power of the air. That's Satan, okay? Our adversary. And you were a child of disobedience, okay? This is where we were spiritually. In fact, Isaiah 53, 6a describes it this way. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. All we, every single one of us, are like sheep. We've gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. Acknowledge your sin. Understand your life before Christ. You, me, were, listen, willingly disobedient. But not only that, the unsaved person is eternally doomed. We're eternally doomed. Ephesians 2:3 says, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. What was your life like apart from Christ? You were eternally doomed. I mean, you were living totally controlled by the flesh. You were conducting the things of the flesh. You were fulfilling the desires of the flesh. You were by nature a child of wrath. I mean, what does the Bible say about this? Romans 6:23a. For the wages of sin is what? Death. And when it uses that word death, it's not just talking about physical death. Yes, there will be physical death. But way beyond that is spiritual death. And what that is, spiritual death, the Bible calls it the second death, which is the lake of fire, which is hell. And what it's saying is the wages of sin is hell. What we deserve is hell. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Acknowledge your sin before Christ. I mean, when you talk about giving back, I mean, if you can understand where you were beforehand, and I know some of us, like myself, I was saved as a child, and it's really, you know, kind of hard to do this in some ways because we came to Christ so young. But we still have to understand the Bible, right? We have to understand our spiritual condition because a lot of giving back, you know, some people say that the biggest sinners make the best saints. And there's a lot of truth to that, okay? There's a lot of truth to that, particularly when you understand what God has done for you, all right? So what has God done for you? Number two, appreciate your salvation through Christ. Appreciate your salvation through Christ. All right. Now it says in Ephesians 2:4a, but God. So Ephesians 2:1a says, and you, okay. And now, but God. One of these days I'm going to do a series. I'm going to call it But God, because there's a lot of these famous but God statements in the Bible. But God, what did God do? Listen, God didn't want you living in sin. God didn't want you going to hell. God wants you to live pure. He wants you to be in heaven with him forever. And you know what? He made a way of salvation. He made a way to be saved from hell and a home in heaven. And when you come to Christ, there are six incredible things that God gives the saved person. Six incredible things that God gives the saved person. Listen to this. Number one, God gives love and mercy. God gives love and mercy. It goes on to say in Ephesians 2:4, but God who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. But God, who is rich in mercy, he's a merciful God, because of his great love with which he loved us. God loves you. He loves you. How much does he love you? I always like to think about it this way. How much did he love me? He loved me this much. So he loved you this much that he would hang on a cross for you and for me, and give his life on a cross for you and for me. He loved me. He loved you. He cares for us greatly. And with his love, he's rich in mercy. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. What do we deserve? Listen, we deserve hell. We deserve help. And I often try to remind you, you know, some people say, well, I don't know how God can let anybody go to hell. I've heard that a number of times through the years. And I'll be honest with you, a person that says that, in my way of understanding, I don't think they understand the nature of God, number one, and the nature of heaven, number two. I don't think they understand the nature of sin, okay? Because the reality is, when I understand God, I understand heaven, and I understand Steve Reynolds, I understand why Steve Reynolds should go to hell, okay? Heaven is perfect. Heaven is holy. Steve Reynolds is imperfect. Steve Reynolds is unholy. And so are you, okay? And the only way I'm going to heaven is because he's merciful. He is a merciful God. He's not giving me what I do deserve. Romans 5:8 says, but God, amen, there's another but God, right? But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much did he love us? He hung on that cross. He died for you and me. What has God given to you in salvation? He's given you love. He's given you mercy. But that's not all, okay? God gives grace and life. God gives grace and life. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 5 through 6, even when we were dead in trespasses, we remember Ephesians 2, 1, we were dead in trespasses. But even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you were saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I mean, this is a great theological passage, by the way. We could, and probably one day should, do a whole sermon on these two verses, all right? But the thing I want to focus on here the most is grace and life. Grace and life. And here the Bible says that by grace you've been saved. How do we get saved? Grace. Now listen, grace is the opposite side of mercy. Mercy is God, listen, not giving us what we do deserve, hell. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve in that we get heaven, all right? We don't go to hell because God's merciful, all right? But it doesn't just stay neutral. God gives us something we don't deserve, which is heaven. And why does he do that? Because of his grace. Grace is unmerited favor, all right? It's something we don't deserve, all right? In his grace. And with that, it says he makes us alive, okay? Raised up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. John 5:24 says, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Praise God. When you come to Christ, you get grace and life, and you're passed from judgment, you're passed from hell, and you get everlasting life in heaven. Wow. I mean, let this sink in, all right? This is what God has given to you. He's given you love. He's given you mercy. He's given you grace. He's given you life. But that's not all. God gives heaven and eternity. God gives heaven and eternity. It says in Ephesians 2, 7 through 9, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So here the Bible tells us God gives us heaven and God gives us eternity. He gives us heaven and he gives us eternity. And God has blessed us with these exceeding riches that he has given to us. And the Bible says that these are two of the most important verses in the Bible. All right. For by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, I want to stop right here, okay? And I want to just say something, all right? I've been preaching this with the assumption that you're saved. But I also realize that there are probably people today, maybe you're one of those people who are watching, and you are not saved. You've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. And I want to explain this to you, okay? I want to explain just very briefly, how do we get saved? And it says here that we are not saved by good works. You know, most people, if you ask them, are you going to heaven? And they might say yes. If they say yes, you say, well, why do you think you're going to heaven? And they'll answer with some type of good work, like I'm a good person, or haven't done anything real bad, or you know, try to be a good citizen, or try to be a good person, try to follow, some people say follow the Ten Commandments, some people might say I got baptized, or some people might say I go to church, or whatever, okay? But listen, that's not it, okay? That doesn't save you, okay? I mean, honestly, you ought to do all those things I think I just mentioned. Do them. But you don't do them to get saved. You do them because you are saved. All right? There's a big difference, all right? You do it not because you're trying to earn your way to heaven, but because you've been saved. You do want to be a good person, right? You do want to follow the Lord the best you can. We're not saved by our good works. We're saved through faith. That means putting your faith and trust in Jesus, because it was Jesus who died for your sin and my sin. It was Jesus who was buried. It was Jesus who rose from the grave to give us eternal life. And listen, when it says there, listen to this very carefully. When it says here, saved through faith, what it means is that's what you're relying on. That's what you're depending on to get to heaven. You say, Steve Reynolds, are you going to heaven? You know what I'm going to say? Absolutely. Absolutely. And the reason I have that confidence is because the next question you ask me is, how do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And my answer is J-E-S-U-S. That's the only answer I got. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe Jesus rose from the grave for me. And I prayed, I asked Jesus to save me, and he answered that prayer and came into my life. Have you ever done that, friend? Have you ever asked Christ to save you? If you haven't, I'm going to give you a chance to do that even today. But as we close out this section, appreciate your salvation through Christ. John 10 says in verses 27 through 28, when God gives heaven eternity, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So praise God. When I say God gives heaven and eternity, listen, he doesn't take it back. He doesn't take it back. The Bible teaches us that once we're saved, we're always saved. Once we're saved, we're always saved, because it describes total security, that we're in the palm of his hand, and nothing includes you, okay? You can't pluck yourself out. I can't pluck myself out, all right? We're saved for sure. Praise God. Listen, if you're going to give back, I'm laying the whole foundation for what should motivate you and drive you to get back. And the first thing is acknowledge your sin before Christ. The second thing is appreciate your salvation through Christ. And then the third thing, and this is verse number 10, our key verse, activate your service for Christ. Listen, if you really comprehend what God has done for you, you know what it's going to do? It's going to fire you up, okay? It's going to ignite your purpose to minister. I mean, you're going to have a want to minister, because you know God has given so much to you that you want to get back in service. Now, it says in Ephesians 2:10a, for we. All right, so it started out talking about you, all right, that's before Christ. And then it talks about, but God, that's Christ, that's salvation. And now for we, all right, what are we like now? We that have been saved. Well, first of all, you've been called to ministry. I mean, you've been called to ministry. Our key verse, Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Listen, your life is not an accident. Your life is not a mistake. You are a beautiful creation of God. You are His workmanship. He has made you. He has created you. You are so unique. You're so special that God took the time to craft you as a person, all right? And in doing that, He created you for good works. Out of who He made, He wants to use you to do good works. And what's awesome is God prepared this long before, we were even alive. I mean, God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I mean, God had an eternal purpose for my life. Steve Reynolds is not an accident. God had an eternal purpose, a reason for my life. And part of that reason for my life is ministry. Ministry. Now, in looking at God's workmanship and how He's created us for good works and how He's prepared us to walk in them, you need to understand this. You have been shaped for ministry. What that verse says in verse number 10 is God's not a cookie cutter God, all right? He crafted you. He made you who you are. And I call it you've been shaped for ministry. And let me explain to you what shape means. The S, it's an acrostic, S-H-A-P-E. S stands for spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. So I already mentioned spiritual gifts earlier, okay? Because I want you to see God created you for ministry, and the Bible says He gave you a gift, and it says minister it. Minister it. In other words, we're to minister with the gift or gifts that God has given to us. And I love what 2 Timothy 1:6 says, therefore I remind you, stir up the gift of God. So you've got a gift from God. You probably have more than one gift, by the way, okay? But you got at least one. You got to stir it up. You know what that means? You got to start using it, okay? You got to get it going. Get it going. Don't sit on it. Stir it up, Make it happen. Get moving. Activate, okay? Activate. The H stands for heart. Heart. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. And I love this here. It says, you fall in love with the Lord, and you know what He'll do? He'll put desires in your heart. Okay? For example, okay, He might give you a spiritual gift, let's say of teaching, but He might give you a heart for teenagers. All right? In other words, you could teach all kinds of different people, right? You can teach multiple ages, different demographics or whatever. Well, what He's going to do, I'm telling you, He's going to put people on your heart, okay, that you're going to feel called. I love that word, called, to minister to and to teach. So many people think, well, because I want to do this, maybe that's not what God wants. No, it's just the opposite, okay? If you're loving the Lord, if you're delighting in the Lord, He's putting those desires in your heart. And then the A is abilities. Abilities. Exodus 31:3 says, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. Now listen, abilities. These are the God-given skills that God has given to us. And here it talks about, all manner of workmanship. And what the way I interpret that, if you can be an electrician, that comes from God. He made you that way. If you can be an IT person, if you can be an administrator, if you can be a carpenter, if you can be a driver, if you can be a realtor, if you can be a pastor, if you can be a doctor or whatever, if you can play a musical instrument, that's the Lord. God gave that to you, okay? And you need to look at these abilities that God's put inside of you. And then the P is personality. Your hands have made me and fashioned me an intricate unity. Your hands have made me and fashioned me an intricate unity. Personality. Part of what God did was made you and fashioned you, and He gave you a personality. Some of us are public people. It took me a while to get used to, before COVID came, I didn't do what I'm doing. It took me a bunch of weeks, actually, to get kind of somewhat comfortable with doing the sermon to an empty auditorium, okay? But I got used to it now, okay, and I'm very comfortable doing it. You know, some of you could never do this, okay? You don't have a personality for it. I mean, for you to publicly do something like this, you just couldn't handle it. You're more of a behind-the-scenes person. That's fine. You don't have to apologize for that. That's your personality, okay? That's fine. That's good, okay? That's right on, okay? That's good. God gives you a unique personality. And then E is experience. I like to put it this way. God will never waste an experience, including God will never waste a hurt. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Now, again, this is one of those passages that's literally a sermon by itself. But let me just summarize it this way. God is a comforter, and he never promised us that life would be easy, but he did promise us that he would comfort us in the midst of our hard times. But God, on top of that, equips you to be a comforter, particularly in specific ways, all right? For example, okay, let's say you've been divorced, all right? I mean, nobody likes divorce, right? You know, nobody wants to go through a divorce, that's for sure, okay? It's horrible, it's painful, it's difficult. But you know what? You know who can help somebody go through a divorce? Somebody's been through a divorce, you know? What I'm getting to you is if you lost a spouse, that's a painful experience. God wants to use that. I mean, this is true of educational experience. Any education God's blessed you with, that came from the Lord. That experience of being able to go to high school, or college, or some advanced degree, or technical school, or whatever, you know, seminar, you name it, okay? That's from the Lord. That's an experience that he's given to you that he can use for his service. So activate your service for Christ. You've been called to ministry. You've been called. And listen, he's shaped you for ministry. Now, I've got some awesome news for you, okay? I want to help you discover your shape and use your shape. And I do a thing here called the purple folder. That's kind of inside language here. Basically, years ago, we put this paperwork together to help people figure out their ministry. And I said, let's put it in a color folder. And it just so happens that day we had purple. And so from that point on, we always said, put this stuff in a purple folder, okay? And basically what it is some paperwork you fill out and you answer some questions, all right? And then you turn it in. And basically what it does, it reveals your shape for ministry. It helps you understand your spiritual gifts. It helps you understand your heart. It helps you understand your abilities. It helps you understand your personality. It helps you understand your experience. And you know what happens? You know what happens? You ignite your purpose. You ignite your purpose. Listen, when you are using your shape for God, you're going to have an explosion of purpose. I mean, you're talking about an ignition that's going to happen. You're going to explode with purpose because you're doing what God designed you to do. Listen, God has given us so much. He's given us so much. Acknowledge your sin and what your life was like before Christ. Appreciate what God has done in saving you, okay? And listen, please activate what he has given to you. All right, I want to close in prayer. And as I do this, I want to give you an opportunity. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, okay, I want to pray with you right now, okay? Just let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear God, thank you for giving us purpose in life. And thank you, Lord, for salvation. And with our heads bowed and eyes closed, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to do it right now. Just pray something like this. Say, "Dear God, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that Jesus rose from the grave to give me eternal life. Right now, I turn from my sin and I put my trust in Jesus to save me. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and save me right now. Listen, you might not pray those exact words, that's fine. But if that expresses the condition of your heart today, God hears your heart, okay? And praise God for your salvation. Hey, let's serve the Lord. He's a good God. Let's serve Him faithfully.